Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 17th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I've brought you Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing good, Taryn. It's Sunday morning. We have so much to unpack, and I'm ready to extract all the information and give it to all the lovely viewers today.
Yes, of course, like the last few days, not a whole lot to update you on. There's some talking points. I've got about four bullet points on my notes. But there actually has been some interesting news. Obviously, we have the winner of part two and then also some leaks from the roundtable. So we've got some interesting stuff to discuss. But I guess we'll get straight into it. We're here to update you on everything that's been going on. And first and foremost, they competed in part two of the final three HOH competition. And we have a winner, Pooya.
Yeah, after 6 hours and 30 minutes, feeds came back and your boy Meatball won part two. Apparently not by that much. It seems like it was a little too close to call. They both came out of that competition very mind-effed and very, 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 let's say. It seemed like there was a lot going on. From what I gather, it looked a little Game of Thrones-ish, so I'm kind of excited to see how that looks on television. But no, there seemed like there was a lot. There were cardboard people they had to push down. There was ammo. There was bows and arrows. So quite a lot of things to do, quite a lot of hoops to jump through before they got this competition done last night.
Well, I mean, that makes sense to me. It'd go from farting unicorns to Game of Thrones. That's perfectly in the same universe.
Stitched together magnificently.
Yes, apparently only 7 minutes separated Josh and Christmas after at least like over an hour and a half for each of them trying to compete. They both had a lot of trouble with this competition. It's the way it goes. Christmas, of course, was able to compete and was able to almost beat Josh here, just like she almost beat Paul in round one. But Christmas is no longer in the running for the final three HOH competition.
Yeah, and I just can't believe this 7 minute thing. I mean, Christmas has one bum leg, and yesterday she had a bum eye. Homegirl was personifying IHOP the entire day, and then somehow managed to get that close to beating Josh. So I want to know why or how Josh ended up fumbling as much as he did. So I have no idea. It's I can't fathom. I can't fathom it.
We'll just have to, Kennedy, in the chat says she's not in the, quote unquote running anymore. yes. And, Nina points out Josh will win at least 50K. Yes, he will. Because Paul definitely plans on taking Josh. And at the moment, Josh does apparently seem to be taking Paul as well. He talked to Paul. They were both sort of celebrating, we're going to take each other. How are we going to break the news to Christmas? Should we say that we've had each other's back all season long? Should we say, look, we just can't beat you? Should we do it together? What do we do here?
Yeah, they're very convinced that Christmas is a lock for the America's favorite, and that's another thing they're also taking into consideration. They're very confident that it's one of the three of them ultimately. But yeah, no, Paul went right to work after this competition, petting Josh on the head, kind of spent the majority of the night talking to him about whether it was nonsense or not, and like a little bit of, we did it, we don't have to worry anymore, I can just go to bed all day and do nothing, if you know what I'm saying. Just a lot of just self-assurance to both himself and to Josh. And I feel like as of right now, you did say it, it looks like Josh is taking Paul. And outside of Josh winning that final HOH and maybe coming to life in those moments before he has to make his announcement, stone at the moment.
Yeah, and we have some new information that may point to this being the better decision for Josh. A lot of people were asking, like, if Josh takes Paul to the final two, is this going to be a move worse than Cody taking Derek? And I was saying, no, I don't think so. Because, like, there is some amount of, like, halfway reasonable explanation that we can say, like, there's, it's believable that maybe you do have a better shot against Paul. And there were some people that were like, what are you, according to who? Like, he's going to have a better shot. And now we've got some leaks happening that, man, this could be an interesting finale here from Hamster Watch. So fairly reliable source here. Hamster Watch says that a little birdie, the same one who told her that Paul would be on the season to begin with, told her that last night's, or this was yesterday, but the jury roundtable was a whole lot of bitter, so much so that only Matt and Raven plan to vote for Paul should he be in the finals. This also says, of course, that could change by Wednesday, but it's interesting to say the least. The only sure thing is, regardless who wins the season, the fan base will riot. So this is information, obviously, again, comes from Hamster Watch, usually a pretty reliable source. She's not saying this is definite. She's saying that this is what was told to her by the same source that told her that Paul was going to be in the house. I'm honestly, a lot of people are doubting this information. I'm somewhat inclined to believe this. Hamster Watch doesn't usually post things unless it's fairly reliable. Also, the claim that only Matt and Raven will vote for Paul is kind of unbelievable, which is why I kind of believe it. Because my first thought was like, what? There's no way. Like, all of a sudden, Kevin just like he gets to the round table and like just immediately becomes crazy bitter against Paul and like will never vote for him and will vote for Josh over Paul. Like, that doesn't seem super believable to me. And if this isn't true, I think that's that just would be the reason why it's not true. But on the other hand, why claim that? Why claim that if it wasn't just the case, right? Like, why not say that only three people were going to vote for, if you're making something up? I don't know. Who knows? But like, again, why would this be made up in the first place? I'm inclined to believe it.
Yeah, and I'm with you 100%. When I read the news, for me, it was a little bit of, well, first, I know that Hamster Watch is the type of source to only cite legitimate sources. She's not going to just give us speculative nonsense. So that, first taking that in and then looking at the spread itself. Okay, so Matt and Raven are the two that are definitively voting with Paul. The rest are pretty bitter. And then the first thing I read with the people replying back were, well, what? Kevin's just not going to vote for Paul. Like, that's not a thing. So then I thought about Kevin a little deeper. And if anyone wants to go and look back at the last how many DRs Kevin does. How does Kevin set himself up in the DR? I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. We'll see. Like, it's always just, let's see, we'll see. He never is certain. I feel like he came into that jury roundtable last. Obviously, he probably got revealed there while everyone was sitting outside. And maybe he just didn't contribute a whole lot to the conversation. Maybe he just kind of sat there and listened to everyone talk. And that's why there's no look of where Kevin is going. So that is how I have decided to justify Kevin and not knowing where Kevin is going, for sure. But then also, I would like to think it definitely makes sense based on the spread of people. The jury foreman this year was Cody. Cody has been very anti-Paul from the beginning. One by one, Mark comes in, Elena comes in, he gets to tell them, he told them so. Then you kind of break the suit when Matt comes in and is still all in with Paul and like doesn't really see it that way. Then Jason comes in. Jason feels like he's bamboozled by both Alex and Paul. Then realizes Alex was innocent, still keeps the blame on Paul. There was even that one part in the jury segment where Alex was the one who was like, well, it's still a game. He's playing the best game. And like, you could hear Jason audibly in the background not having that. So the interesting thing for me is Alex seems to be, if there's still a game to be played, if there's still votes that could be moving around, I feel like Alex ends up being in that pivotal swing vote spot, the Davon spot, if you will, from last season. So that's a very interesting thing to look at. But I'm with you. I see no reason for this source not to be reliable. I see no reason for this leak not to be something to consider. Can things still change till Wednesday? Of course. We remember watching the stuff with BB Can 4 and everyone writing off the brothers, myself included. And then the brothers won and everyone died together. So, yeah, that's where we're at. That's where we're at with the jury right now.
Yeah, and Nikki just pointed this out, and this is what I think the most believable thing to me is, especially with Kevin. Kevin has always hated Matt and Raven, and Everybody hates Matt and Raven. We saw how obnoxious they were being in the jury segment. I can 100% believe that they were just so obnoxious that they turned everyone off to voting for Paul. We saw, we had Andy on the podcast. He said that something similar happened with Amanda and McRae in the jury house on his season. We saw it somewhat happen with Bruno and Godfrey in Big Brother Canada. If you are just obnoxious about who you're campaigning for, it will really turn people off. And for as much as Kevin, I think, was absolutely willing to vote for Paul, I could 100% see him being like, screw Matt and Raven. I'm not voting for Paul. This is no good. I'm having none of this. And it, like, interestingly enough, I think that we could see Josh's rogue vote to keep Raven in the game in the double eviction, which ends up keeping Raven happy with Paul as she goes out of the house, because she thinks that Paul voted to keep her. And then in the jury house, she's all on the Paul train. And we were like, wow, that really backfired, Josh. This could double backfire and end up costing Paul the win and winning Josh the game.
It's like when you shoot a bullet and you've completely hit off and then it ricochets and it gets them anyways. That's kind of how that vote ends up going. And I definitely think there's something to be said about this, because Matt, like Raven. Okay, so the biggest thing with Raven that we've seen now is this delusion that she thinks she's some puppet master. Factor that in with all the things people were already doubting about her, all the lies, all the diseases, all the conditions that people were just rolling their eyes at by the end of their like tenure in the house. You don't want that person to be right. You know what I mean? You just don't want that person to be right. So there is an actual way of looking at this where, yeah, people will go against conventional wisdom if there's an idiot on the other side supporting that cause. So it's happened. It happens in your group of friends. The one person that always gets ragged on, you're probably not going to agree with them in front of everyone else. We've seen Kevin and Matt. We've seen how that relationship went. Kevin cites Matt as the person who like spilled the tea on his 25,000. And he's never been a fan of them. I know him and Alex have their beef, but at the same time, you walk in there and these two are so sure of themselves, so obnoxious. You don't want to see them succeed. You don't want to see them work out. And the worst part is, Taryn, the fact is they are the first two that came into the jury and were like, as far as he can. Matt said it first, then Raven repeated the same thing. So the problem is they marked their territory first. They became the Paul spokespeople. And now, if you back Paul, you're backing those two, and no one wants that. So I think that's the problem.
Yeah, like you mentioned, like it's like a bullet ricochet. I feel like this is like if Josh tried to shoot Paul with his gun and the bullet ricocheted and hit him in the chest, hit Josh in the chest, and Josh fell down and like near death. And then Paul was like, aha, I won. And then Paul was just like walking around. He trips over Josh's body, ends up snapping his neck. And Josh just kind of like crawls to the hospital. That's what happened here.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And yeah, you know, people are saying, oh, of course, Alex told Raven about the vote, though. Yes. But the point is that Raven spent a whole week thinking Paul voted to keep me, Paul was on my side. Even when she learns the truth, it's like, no, I'm not wrong about that, though. Paul was still loyal to me, just like she still thinks she's a puppet master. Like, once she believes something, and we know this is true about Raven, once she believes something, there is nothing that's going to convince her otherwise. So I do think that if it was a unanimous vote against Raven, she would have been a little more like, why did Paul vote against me? And maybe that doubt would have been enough that they didn't go crazy in the jury house and turn everyone off of Paul. But that's just another theory. We really don't know what's happening in the jury here. I made this joke before, but with Dr. Will as the foreman of the jury, or the moderator of the jury, maybe Dr. Will doesn't like Paul. You know, like we're talking about one of the best players to ever play the game. It's kind of dangerous to put that kind of person in charge of a jury that's going to award the win to somebody else. I can guarantee if Dr. Will was in charge of the Big Brother 14 jury, he would have been all over making sure that they were bitter against Dan. So, you know, maybe all this talk about maybe Rachel Riley tweeting that maybe Paul is up there with Will. Maybe he wasn't a fan of that. Maybe he was like, all right, maybe I want Paul to lose here.
And the king stays king. Exactly. I feel like it's one of those things with Dr. Will, based on, you know, having watched his seasons and then looking at him like modern day, the main thing to look at is his Twitter. Dr. Will loves getting a rise out of people. He absolutely loves it. He feeds off of that energy. So I could definitely see him walking in and just kind of rubbing more salt in their wounds of like, well, how did this feel? You made it all this way. You went 3 months. You got nothing. He's sitting there and he could take like, and the thing is, he could have said the same sentence, and you can look at it in two ways, right? The best player played me. I respect that. I'm going to vote for them. Or if the jury is as bitter as they sound, they hear this and they're like, well, F that guy. How good is his comeuppance going to be when he did all this for nothing? When he did all this to be in the same spot he was last year, I'm not going to reward him for getting me out, etc. So I feel like Dr. Will definitely has the tone, has the charisma, has the opportunity to like sway minds. I just feel like it's one of those things because of his nature, because of his like good-natured ribbing, shall we say. It's one of those things where these people probably are going to read it and feel some kind of way about it and not so much read it and respect it. And I swear I cannot stop but go back to like the Raven and Matt. Just imagine this kind of boosting Paul up, saying, so like he played the best game, he did this, he was very strategic, he had a hand in getting rid of all of you. Just sitting there and watching Matt and Raven nod their heads and smile as that's going on. You look at them once, you don't care what Dr. Will's saying anymore. No. These two cannot be right. That's not happening.
Yeah, and you know, like even if we don't want to get conspiratorial about like Will having a specific agenda, we can also look at the fact that like Will is seen as the guy that's going to come in and tell you to vote for the better player. I mean, and this can be attributed to Paul's mistake because he set Will up as that figure. He told Alex, Will will come in, he'll make sure everyone's not bitter. So if the jury house, if the people in the jury are sitting in there thinking, man, I really feel like really pissed off about Paul, but it's the game, especially about Alex, like it's the game, I should still vote for him. When I talk to Dr. Will, he'll talk about like, you know, person plays the best game, they should win the game, I got to respect what Will says. And then, so if you have those expectations of Will, you go to the round table, and then Will, as we know from watching previous roundtables, even if he's not trying to get somebody to lose, he is going to be somewhat even-handed. He does not fulfill the role that people are claiming that he does. Like, he does not say, you should vote for the best winner or the best player. He says, well, maybe they pissed you off then. Will doesn't care. He does not have an agenda for to like wrong or right the wrongs of Daniel Reyes and Dan Gheesling. Like he doesn't care about that at all. So if they go into that jury house and they're like, yeah, but Paul, he really screwed me over and I'm really mad at that. And Will goes, well, maybe that's something to consider. They'll be like, whoa. I mean, this is the guy, this is the most rational guy ever. He's the guy that's supposed to be telling me what the right thing to do is. And if he's telling me that my feelings are justified, then maybe they are justified. Maybe I shouldn't vote for Paul. So this could easily be something that turns the jury on Paul. And, you know, obviously there's lots of other things to consider. The stuff that I've been talking about all season long between Paul trash talking Cody on Mark's way out of the house. And Mark being like, why do we have to still rag on him? And Paul being like, cause he's a bad person, pissing Mark off. Obviously Mark brings that back to Cody. It's going to piss Cody off. Paul trying to maintain his innocence in goodbye messages and two people in the house, you know, trying to keep the blood off of his hands, crying when he actually has to admit to somebody that he's stabbing them in the back. It makes him look weak. It makes him look like he can't face his own, you know, game. And I think that can really turn the jury against him. So there's certainly a lot of reasons why this jury might be bitter, and we're getting information that it may be true. So I'm interested to see if it's true, because I do think it is, and if so, why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like up until last night, a lot of us were in the same camp of, oh, we think maybe the jury segment was kind of swerving us, the editing of it all. Like, you could hear Mark in the background saying second place, but was it really towards Paul? We don't know. And then now we're looking at it, and there's really a case to be made here now. I think more than anything, if anyone, like, because I know a lot of people, myself still, even in the back of my head, I'm like, this can't be real. Surely Paul has, like, the advantage going into this. There's no way. But then you think back to, like, the Ian Dan finale. Then you think back to, like, the Godfrey of it all. Then you think, like, this has happened enough times in history where the better person was up there, and then no matter what they did, it didn't pan out. Think back to season one of BB Can, where they had this voting block that was like, we're just going to make sure Jillian is not going to take this. Like, it happens. These things happen. Outside of getting Topaz, like, these things happen. So, the fact of the matter is, you can look at this one of two ways. You can look at it as bitter jury. You can look at it as mishandling of the jury. And I feel like there's a bit of a hybrid situation here with specifics to Paul. We've seen these goodbye messages. Some of them were very wavy, very trying to pin other people, calling them saying they've gone rogue. These are secrets that come out in the jury house, so that a lot of that pie was fixed. And then you have, like, just the ragging mentality that we had this season, going after people, pots and pans. Like, sure, Josh was the one in charge of making the noise, banging the pots and pans together. But if he's really seen as the attack dog of Paul, then Paul is the one that they're going to pour blame on, because he's the one that made the order happen. He's the one that put them in, like, made them go do that. So there's enough stuff going on that has gone on in this season with respects to mob mentality, with respects to bad jury management, goodbye messages, just being aggressive, being mean. So there's a lot of factors going into this for someone like Paul, who very, very to do any of that this season. Tried not. He called Big Meech the C word last year. He was very happy that he did not repeat that this year. But the fact of the matter is, he kind of did get other people to do some of those things for him, go after some people for him. And secrets like that come out, especially when you don't try and claim them. You let other people reveal the information instead of yourself revealing the information. I feel like revealing is half of the power right there. So allowing other people to go in and put their spin on it or put their tone on it to deliver it the way they wanted to, I don't think it painted him in a positive light at all. I think he could have had that control with the goodbye messages, and he kind of fumbled that. So now we got to look at Wednesday and see what happens. The one thing that I do know for sure is that it wasn't specified whether it was only said that they're bitter towards Paul. There was no confirmation of whether they're for Josh or for Christmas in any sort of way. So that can still be seen. Maybe Josh shows up there and it's a different scenario versus if Christmas is up there with him. The one thing I was thinking about the other night is, once these jury questions start popping off, you've got someone like Josh who is very emotional, very in the now, live. His emotions will be live. Whether or not his answers will be, we don't know. We'll find out. But things were, again, could go one of two ways. If Josh is the one that's getting a couple questions early on, kind of feels nervous, kind of stumbles, and then, like, really yada yadas the rest of his speech, and, like, something like that happens, it could tip the scales towards Paul's favor. However, then there's the flip side. You go in and, like, two or three people are talking to directly at Paul and are not bashing him, but, like taking him to court on what he's been saying and what he's done. Could we see Paul get rattled? Could Paul just immediately realize, oh my God, what I was doing was not working, and panic a little bit? There are still some things that can happen in between now and Wednesday that can tip the scales. As of right now, it's not looking good until Julie Chen reveals that last vote.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when a jury is bitter against you, basically your chances of winning them over are very, very slim. Like when basically, because people talk about like final two performance, like the speech performance, it's not usually anything that matters. As we've talked about, the jury is rarely live in the first place, but also a lot of it depends on the kinds of questions you're being asked. Andy himself had a great final two performance, but a lot of that had to do with the fact that like they already were going to vote for him and he was up against Gina Marie. If they were like really actually hammering him, we might have seen a different performance. I mean, we saw this directly with Dan, who was amazing in season 10 and then pretty bad in season 14. And it's really just a matter of how the jury is treating you. And we know that Paul is not the kind of guy that handles, adversity well. If people are aggressive toward him, he is going to not handle, he's not going to be like humble about it and be like, oh man, you know what? I'm so sorry that you feel that way. He's going to be like, look, I did what I had to do. I'm the only vet here. So it's really not looking good for him if that's the case. So, I mean, when we look at this, if we do see Paul end up losing here, I do think that we're going to have a lot of conversations start about, was this Paul's fault? Was this a bitter jury? Did he handle them poorly? So on and so forth. Like, you know, this happens every time that something like this happens. Like, what's the nature of the jury? Did Paul deserve to lose? Did Josh deserve to win? Is Josh a better player than Paul if he beats Paul? I think the answer to that is no, for sure. I mean, Josh is here by the grace of Paul, and he didn't even do a whole lot to earn that spot other than just be bad at the game. So I wouldn't necessarily say that Josh is better than Paul. However, I do think that Paul deserves the lose here. I think that we've seen a lot of evidence. This is not a case where it's like, oh, there was nothing he could have done. The jury was just so bitter. This is a case where we saw last season, he could have won, but he didn't because of poor jury management. This season, he could have won, but if he doesn't, I think it's because of poor jury management. We've been talking about it all season long. This is not Big Brother 14, where the second Dan entered the game, they were like, well, never voting for him in a million years. They were talking about voting for Paul all season long. Almost every person that left the game was saying, man, I got to hand it to Paul. I'm going to give him the win. And then they got to the jury house, and Paul's behavior, the way Paul sent other people out, the way that he lied to them, it turned them off. Or whatever it was that turned them off, it definitely turned them off. If the only reason he loses is because of Raven and Matt, I think then we can start to say, okay, that was a little unlucky. But I think for the most part, we have to say this is Paul's fault. If Paul loses here, it's Paul's fault. And he is probably the closest thing to Russell Hance that we have seen on Big Brother. I don't think he is Russell Hance. I do think he still can win the game. But I do think that this is Paul. He has a lot of trouble winning a jury over, and that's just his game.
Yeah, and whether or not we can chalk that up to he didn't have enough time in between the two seasons, or he hasn't watched enough of gone back and done like enough research to kind of see where he went wrong. Again, I go back to the backyard interview with Rob when Rob was like, well, what would you do differently? He's like, no, fool, I would do the same thing, just a little more, like just a lot more of the same. And we kind of did see him do exactly what he told Rob last year. So that, and then factor in again, goes back to like the hand you're dealt. And in Big Brother, the hand you're dealt are the people in front of you. And then your ammo ends up being the information you chalk up from them and how you utilize that to your benefit. And the way he treated some of these people on the way out was really not good, really negative. And then the way he treated some of them was the complete opposite, where he kind of coddled them too much and lied to them to try and keep them in his corner. And like, these are two opposite things to do, but they're bearing the same result right now. And he just, there's some kinks in that. And I agree with you. If he does lose, we will have conversations for many months to come about whether this was a Paul's fault or just a jury malfunction on his behalf. One of any of these things could happen. And there's certain things that have happened. He's made people throw competitions to get each other out. While like we're looking at that, and that to this day still mad impressive. I can't help but feel like some people will feel salty about something like that. Someone like your competitors, your Cody's and your Marks are looking at that and like they're thinking, well, on Cody for saying like, oh, he doesn't respect the game enough to make a speech. Paul doesn't respect the game enough to have people compete. Mark's a competitor. Mark gets up after he gets that, gets picked for the veto and says, woo, let's compete. He's excited. So there's little things like that that can impact you, impact your psyche as a person, as a player of the game, and now as a spectator of the game when you're in the jury. And trail as well. The thing is, when we got to the final eight, and we're looking at, okay, Paul's got three duos, he's in the middle, and he's making them take shots, I'm sitting here impressed. I'm sitting here thinking Paul has crafted an amazing narrative for himself. He's carved himself an amazing spot to get to the end, and he did. Literally, all he had to do from then till now was to make sure that the people leaving and good with him. But when you try and play people that many times, it doesn't end well for you, because these are people that have convinced themselves you are their friend, you have their back. So when you still lie to them on the way out and they find out later, that hurts more than anything. And the one line I hate Josh for using this year, no, not Meatball, is you've played yourself. He keeps saying you've played yourself so many times, and it's excessive and it should stop. But my God, Paul could have played himself, and we will find out on Wednesday. And it's rough, because I really do think all the stuff aside, you know, Paul did play an amazing game leading to a certain point close to the end game here. He fumbled along the way, but he played masterfully as the only vet. He was able to keep the target off of him long enough to get to a power position where he made three duels just take shots at each other one after one after one, which, again, leads me to say the one thing Paul needed to do, because he was safe, because no one was coming after him, was to just keep these relationships close, let them know what's happening as they're going out, just hope for the best, garner some of their sympathy yeah. for someone who betrays you, so...
Yeah, and I really do think if this is true and this is the outcome that we get here, it will be the first time in a while that we've seen a Big Brother season where it was really the story of how Paul lost more than how the winner won. And that really would be, I think, a fitting end to such a season. So we've got some more season long analysis coming your way on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We're going to start to analyze these players' games over the course of the entire season, really get to know what they did, how good they are, and maybe we'll look back at Josh's game and say, you know what, maybe he did play a good game, or maybe we'll say, yeah, this is in fact probably going to be one of the lesser winners here, but we'll find that out. So make sure you tune in. We're going to be doing one player per day leading up until the finale, and that'll be a lot of fun. So make sure you check it out. It'll be 10 a.m. Eastern, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then, of course, check out my interview with Netta Kalantar from Big Brother Canada 2 and 5. Great, great interview with Netta, getting some great responses. People really enjoyed it. A lot of good stuff about, the fan reaction, how you handle the fan reaction. I mean, Netta was one of the most popular Big Brother Canada players of all time, and she had severe anxiety being the most popular. Just because you're well-liked, that doesn't mean that the Big Brother community is a happy place to live. And it really, you know, a lot of people have been saying, like, this is really, like, helpful in terms of, like, it really humanizes these characters that you see on TV. Like, these aren't just people that you... hate indiscriminately. Like, these are actually human beings in this. It's really, I think it's really valuable to be able to see that. And yes, Nina says in the chat, she really opened up and she really did. I mean, I talked about it just now. Like, she had a lot of anxiety from her experiences on the show. And so the fact that she decided to open up with me, just, it really meant a lot. She hasn't done any interviews since Big Brother Canada 5. She said she doesn't really even plan on doing any other interviews. So it really meant a lot to me that she felt safe enough with me to open up and be very, really vulnerable. And I think that takes a lot of strength. So. Thank you so much, Netta. And then, of course, tune in on Wednesday night where we will be recapping the season finale of Big Brother 19. And maybe we will be crowning Josh the winner. So, you never know.
Anything can happen. Expect the unexpected.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. You can follow my American Ninja Warrior coverage. We're going to do the season finale coverage of that on that's going to be airing Monday night. We'll also do the LFC roundtable on Monday night. And then you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Priya is at Priyaism. Rob will be in the backyard doing interviews with the cast mates of Big Brother 19. Make sure you can send questions into him about all of these people. We need stuff for the pre-jury members. They're not getting many questions. So make sure you send those in. And yes, I think that's all I've got for you. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.